Rudy once said to me, he said, "You know, Bruce, you're never going to have your fantasy." And it was like a stake through the heart. And I said, well, then, Rudy, what will I have? And he looked at me very directly, and he said, "Your reality." That's a very wonderful and difficult thing to hear. Because almost everybody has a fantasy that they're living for, especially here in Hollywood. I would say a very large percentage of people who come to this class are living here because they're pursuing a fantasy. You can call it a dream. A lot of people call it a dream. And what everybody wants in life is fulfillment of that dream. And that dream is kind of what we live for. And every one of you, when I talk about this, has your own picture of what that might be. And for me to tell you that you're not going to have it is pretty much devastating. The idea of having your reality mostly feels like yuck. I'm going to have all of this difficulty and suffering and struggle and drama. But I tell you, actually, that's more part of your dream. The reality is sort of none of the above. Let me put it this way. I describe it as the fantasy is going to Tahiti. The reality is there are mosquitoes there and scorpions and a lot of other things. Reality is what is. Fantasy is your mind's projection of what it could be if reality didn't intercede. And it's very frustrating that reality keeps creeping into the picture. The reality of that you think is reality, meaning not getting what you want, not getting your fantasy, that's reality. Well, guys, it's not reality. What you want more deeply than anything and don't even realize it is the truth of who you are. And when that dawns on you, it's beyond fantasy. It's so much better than you could imagine, so much better than you could fantasize, so much more wonderful, so much more absolute and complete. It's hard to truly imagine that this can be. But as you've heard me now talk about for any number of weeks, the only problem with getting your reality is that you're not there. Meaning, you can't own it. It owns you. It is you. But it's not the you that you think. You can't walk away with it. You can't patent it. You can't own it. It just is. It just is. And it is everything you have ever wanted, minus you. Now, when I say minus you, I don't mean there's not somebody, something there to be it. It's the thing that's always been there from day one. The thing that has always been there, which is this presence, these eyes, these ears, this knowing. From the moment you gained consciousness, this was born in you. It was even there before you gained consciousness, before you became aware of yourself as a living thing. This thing that arises and announces itself as you is like a little wave cresting out of the ocean. And it goes, oh, oh, look at me. And it sees the sun, it sees the stars, it sees everything around it, and it goes, oh, it's beautiful. And then this wave, as it becomes aware of itself, starts to get very anxious that it senses its limited duration. It's only going to be out there for a while. And it conceives of this idea that when it subsides back into the ocean, it will die. It will be lost forever. This wave will cease to exist. And then suffering comes in. How is that possible? How could I not be? How could I not be here to love this sky, this sun, this moon, these stars, this air, this sense of existence? How could I ever not have that? And then it really starts to diminish. The wave starts to fall apart. And there you are in a state of unbearable suffering. You're diminishing, you're dying. And it seems cataclysmic. But then the wave subsides back into itself, and it realizes as it does so that it was never separate from the ocean, ever. That it simply rose out, touched existence, came back, and realized it was existence itself. This is the human journey. Then there's this thing called spirituality, where this thing rises out, and in the middle of its confusion about what it is and where it is and why it's going to die and why it's going to suffer, other waves emerge and tell it, because they've done this many times, don't worry. It's no big deal. It's no big deal that you're going to die. You never were this separate wave. You've always been the ocean. And this little wave, if it's lucky, hears that. It just hears that. And it looks inside, it looks around, and it gets a taste of that. It may even begin to believe it. If it's truly blessed, the ocean will rise up inside it and say, I am. I am. And you will look back and know that I am that. You will look back and know that is what you are. And your wave is still cresting, you're still up there, you're still separate in some level from the rest of existence, and yet you are connected to one with the ocean, and you know it. The difference between waves that don't know it and waves that do know it is not very much. There are still waves. They're still cresting. But the one that knows it, the ones that know it, have that sense of assurance of the vastness of their being, the infinite nature of their being, that that's what they are. And it changes how they live their life. It just changes the complexion of their life. It's not going around going, oh God, I'm going to die, oh, what's happening, I'm foaming away, things are happening, I don't understand it, there's a bigger wave over there, I'm such a small wave. It's not doing that. It's just going, oh. It's a different ride. It's just a different ride. And the way you achieve that ride is to begin a search. And the search happens when, in the midst of that discomfort, you say, there's got to be more than this. And there is more than this. The more is that you're everything. That's the more than this. But a lot of waves will come to you and they'll say, well, you know, I figured it this way. If you believe in this and you believe in that, then that's going to be this and this will be that, and you're going to be happy. And you go, okay, well, I'll try to believe in this and that. And there you are, moving around, foaming all over the place, trying to believe in this and believe in that. And it doesn't work. And someone will tell you, if you stop thinking about this, if you don't think at all, everything will be fine. You'll find out who you really are. And you say, well, how do I stop thinking? I'm trying to stop thinking. I don't know what I'm doing. And you go through this unbelievable, chaotic search. And finally, it just gets exhausting. It just gets totally exhausting. And you go, I can't listen to anybody else anymore. I'm tired of this. I don't want to meditate anymore. I don't want to do anything. I don't get it. I'm completely lost. What do I do? And you stop. You stop this whole thing. And what happens when you stop? You look down. You feel this connection. And this connection is there. It feels you, and there is non-duality. There's oneness. There's just you. Your seeking is over. It's finished. You still have a ride to go on. You're going to fall apart. You're going to disintegrate completely. But there's no fear of that, because what are you disintegrating into? Just basically to you. It may hurt, you know, I mean, for a wave it doesn't hurt so much, but for people it hurts. You know, disintegrating is not easy. None of us like it very much. But you learn to deal with it with a kind of grace, because you understand this is process. This is how it works. I emerge, I touch this extraordinary existence, and I get to look at it, feel it, smell it, eat it, be of it, and then it returns to itself. But it's not you losing it, it's just the self being reabsorbed into itself. It is beautiful all around. The whole thing is beautiful. Nothing about it is not beautiful. You may not like the craziness of being the wave at times, but boy, do you like being the wave. You like it. You love the fact that you emerge from nothingness into this, and then return. You will come again and again and again in different forms, or you may not. I don't know how that works. The ocean seems to create waves. Each wave seems to be somewhat unconscious along the way, but I suspect there are waves that aren't unconscious. I suspect there are waves, they're called avatars, that rise up because they want to be. They want to be in this. And they come up and they go, yes. And they live a life of yes. And then they gently and graciously return. And sometimes those waves that rise up like that are able to be of help and guidance to the lesser waves that still haven't figured it out. And they're teachers. They're bodhisattvas. They're the ones who help us through the journey. Well, each of us is in the middle of our journey, every one of us. And each of us is seeking for the dream, the fantasy. So try to imagine you're this little wave. It's kind of creeped up out of nothing. And all it wants to be is a director. It's pretty universal out here. I want to be a director. You don't want to be a writer. You don't want to be an actor. You want to be in charge of the whole thing. And one of two things happens. The universe doesn't give it to you, which causes enormous suffering, or it does give it to you, which causes enormous suffering. In different ways and different terms, but believe me, it's all suffering. Some people here know that. The suffering is different. One is the suffering of not getting, one is the suffering of getting. And the reason they're both suffering is that they are both impermanent. They both involve mosquitoes and hornets and all of the other things that go along with getting what you want. And they're really problematic because they are very, very temporary. If you can imagine your life as just this quick rising into being and then falling away, you would get a sense of how absurd it is to have arisen into the foamy space of a wave and saying, I am the most important wave in the universe, certainly on the planet. I am the most important director. I am king of the universe, or whatever you think you are. You know, yes, maybe for that 1/10 of a second, you have achieved that, but it ain't going to last, and it's not going to last because, as we all know, you're going to go back into yourself. Those of you who have learned to open to what is, simply understand that there is no predictability to the wave action. You are what you are in the moment. Whatever that is, enjoy it. That wave may get into a tsunami. That wave may be just a tiny little blip. It doesn't matter what it is. You're there. You're it. Owning it, possessing it, never wanting it to go away is going to be very problematic. Because when it subsides, you're either going to go, oh, finally, back to myself, or you're going to go, no, 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 I can't. You know, I'm too famous, I'm too terrible. I'm, you know, whatever you think you are, this crazy human nature that defines us in some way as separate from the ocean, that thing is terrified of letting go. And the value of having a teacher, having someone sit in front of you and say to you, it's okay, you're going to be fine, you are fine, even as you are in this very moment. You are fine. You are okay. As long as that voice gets through and calms you down, you will find that your fantasies can fall away with no problem. You can let go of all your fantasy because you realize it's not the source of happiness. It will bring you nothing but a momentary something. It's fine to have. It's fine to pursue. But just put it in perspective. It's a momentary thing. It's all fine. But not getting it and getting it are equal in many ways. Because ultimately, whatever that is, it's all of the same substance. Knowing that is very important. The reality that you will end up with in your life is the reality I'm talking about now, which is the wave action is temporary, it recedes, you return to yourself. That's reality. When you return to yourself, whether it's at the very end of your life or whether it's right this moment, you will feel complete and whole and grateful. Everything you ever wanted is in that return. Nothing you want is in the foam. That's just a temporary expression of it. Temporary. This is real. This is your reality. This is your fantasy. And it transcends both. It's what you have been looking for in every action of your life. It's what you're looking for as you sit here now. And it's what's sitting in front of you, and it's what's sitting inside you. Some of you are dialoguing about this in your head as I speak. Yeah, but, you know, go ahead. You can butt till the day you die, you probably will. But that's not going to get you what you're looking for. There are no buts in this. It's just, this is what it is. And either you're connected to that and remembering it and realizing it, or you're not. If you're not, it hurts. If you remember, it doesn't hurt. Or if it does hurt, it doesn't matter that it hurts. It's just what it is. For what it's worth, death, unconscious death, the return to the self without awareness, is its own journey. And it's a journey that can be called heaven if you go, "Ah, I'm returning to myself," or it's called hell, meaning, "No, no, 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 don't do this, don't do this. Oh, God, I'm foaming, I'm, you know, all." That's hell, and that's a journey. And believe me, it's a journey for many people who don't awaken before the time comes. Many people awaken as they die. Many people awaken on their deathbed. The benefit of what each of you has sitting here right now and listening to this is that it can happen now. Really, there's nothing stopping it from happening now. At all. It's completely and absolutely available. Free for the taking. Free for the taking. Why would you not take it? It's a really good question. Why would you not take it? That thing in you that doesn't want to take it, which says, "I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I have more things to do in the world." They're valid. Those are all valid things, but they don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. Because all you have to do is go, "I am the ocean." You still can go out there and have your job and do your work and make families and do all these things, which are all terrific. They're all terrific stuff to do while you're foaming into the universe. But to do it consciously and to say, "Oh, oh, oh, what wonder, what amazement, what love." You know, Andrew looks at his daughter every morning and just, I can feel what he does. The love is unbelievable. Where do you think that love comes from, guys? The ocean of love. You love your daughter, you love your child, you love your parent, you love another person. That love is not from the foam. That love's from the ocean. The ocean is love. It rises up. Why don't you want to live like that? Why would you like to live, "They don't love me, I don't love them, it's terrible, I work sucks, everything is awful, no, life's no good." Why do you want to live like that? Truly, understand this. It's a choice. You choose to live as a miserable human being. It's a stupid choice, but it's a choice. And everybody is doing it. And all you have to do is go, "I don't want to do that anymore. I'm done being this unhappy, miserable, unsatisfied person. I didn't sell my screenplay, so I'm worthless. It's no good. Life is terrible." You think the ocean cares? Do you think it cares? Do you think it's changed at all because you didn't sell your screenplay? No. Doesn't care. They say God doesn't love me because all these horrible things are happening. God loves you every instant of those horrible things happening. You just don't love yourself or God. And horrible things happen. Yes, the planet is full of awful conflagration. It's, you know, you look at some of those waves that, you know, they're breaking all over the place. They're dramatic. Not necessarily a fun wave to be, but it wants to be. Why does it want to be? Because the ocean wants to know what it's like when it's a tsunami, and the ocean wants to know what it's like when it's a little ripple. It wants to know itself. You are it knowing itself. Be yourself. Be the wave. Be who you are, and love this journey. It is real. And it is what you're doing here, and God bless you for being on the ride. Any questions? Tara.
How is it possible to call to that? Thank you. I really digested that, and it really, really helped me. But it's very, very difficult to then put it into motion in a daily way. What do you suggest of how to have that resonate on a very, because you can read something in a book or you can hear this, and it's so real, and
yeah,
it feels so real, and then you go back into daily life.
Well, that's the question, you know, for everybody, is how do I keep this afloat? You know, anybody sitting in this class has, I think, at least 4 seconds of true nothingness, of true wave-like oceanic being. You have it. And then you want to own it or take it with you, and you can't take it. Why can't you take it? Because it's not transportable, because it's all there is. And you, for a moment, are in touch with all there is, and then you become this little stupid thing again that wants to own it and touch it and sell it and bottle it and do all of these crazy things with it. But all of that is ridiculous. It's absolutely a waste of time. But what do you do? Well, all I can tell you is what I've done over the course of the last 45 years is I sat every day for 30 minutes in the morning and in the night before I went to bed, and I meditated. What does that mean, to meditate? It means that you sit quietly and you try to find that space of what Rudy called nothingness, which is really everythingness. But you just sit and you practice, and you practice and you practice, and some days you practice and it's impossible because your mind is going a million miles a minute, but for some reason you brought yourself into a place at least to watch your mind going crazy. And then some days you sit down and what happens is, and you don't want to get up. You don't want to go back into what you call real life. But real life is no different than this. It's just that you shut down that and go into the little robotic ego self that's got to function in the world. Once you awaken to this permanently, you still have that little thing going on, that little ego self. But what's interesting is the dynamic shifts completely. In the beginning, you sit every day for half an hour and you get 4 seconds of total clarity. When you get to where I have arrived, you get total clarity and 4 seconds of this little mind going like that. It's a complete transition. You shift into that which is momentary in your original sitting, into that as a permanent state. And the mind, ego, self arises when it needs to. And it doesn't need to arise as often as you think. For you and for most everybody else, it's called habitual. It just comes back and takes over. Somewhere in the middle, there's going to be a real battle. There's a real battle between, I'm not going to let that happen, and it happening. At some point, you have to do a confrontation with this stupidity in yourself and say, no more, no more. The deeper, wider ocean of yourself has to come through and start to announce itself more strongly than the ego self. And when you're at that 50-50 point, it's really complicated, you know, because you're going to have these days of glorious truth and these days of absolute darkness. It's called dark night of the soul. It's really painful, really hard. And people go through it. Some people go through it a lot. And it's hard. And then at one point, there's a boom, and it's over. And that's called awakening. It finally breaks through to you that you're not that thing. You're not that stupid little voice that makes you miserable. That's a stupid little voice that exists for its own sake, and you are not that. And that stupid little voice just goes, fuck, it's gone, gone. And then you go, and then you're either completely liberated or you sit on a park bench for a number of years and go, huh, where'd it go? You don't even care, but it's like shocking to suddenly not be the center of your own universe, to suddenly being the ocean instead of this little tiny thing that thinks it runs the show. So it's practice. It's sitting every day. It's being rigorous. It's being earnest. It's being committed. It's all of that to this process that puts you in motion to allow this to take place. It's not necessarily easy. It can be easy, but for most people, it's like they want two things at the same time to be there at the same sort of wave. I want to be the whole ocean and the wave, but I want the wave to be as big as the ocean. Can't be. Isn't true. And you have to go through that process until you finally go, I surrender. I surrender my ego self, my mind, unto thy hands I deliver my spirit. You let go. And that's what it is. And you do it all day long, every day, until it takes over. That's all I can tell you. You know, it's not going to just happen. You have to be really... it's not just coming here on Sunday morning. You know, this has got to go on all day if you really want it to happen. And I can only tell you from where I sit, it's worth happening. Anyone else? Okie doke. Thank you all very much.